So we're doing the stories of the destruction. It was just voted to do it without the text. So those of you who have the text can follow inside. I'm not going to read the text, but we're on page Nun Vav Amud Aleph. And where we had left off is Rabbi Yochanan declared that the humility of Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas, we're on the fourth line, was what destroyed our temple and burnt down our altar and got us into exile. And we discussed this concept of humility and inaction. And we discussed the balance that Rabbi Yochanan is telling us, that delicate, scary balance, where on the one hand he's saying, you have to act. On the other hand, he's saying, you always have to be cautious. He's saying the destruction came because people acted and weren't cautious. Yet he's saying the destruction came because the leadership should have acted and did not act. Now we have two Rabbi Yochanans here, not to be confused. There's Rabbi Yochanan the Amora, Rabbi Yochanan in the days of the Talmud, who compiled the Jerusalem Talmud, and he's overseeing the stories here. Then you have Rabbi Yochanan, who's our major, major leader in the days of the destruction, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. That when the temple is being destroyed, he's the one who goes out. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a young rabbi, and he learned under Hillel HaZaken. He was considered one of Hillel's small students. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ultimately became a great student, and he was the great leader. And we learned how he went to his nephew, who was head of the Biryonim, and said, "You're destroying the city." And his nephew said, "I can't do anything. They'll kill me if I try to do differently." We said that in Josephus, what his nephew said is borne out. That in fact, all the leaders were assassinated, one after another, the leaders of the Biryonim. So, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai goes out to Vespasian, and we're on page Nun Vav Amud Beis, and Vespasian told him, he says to him, "I greet you the king." He says, "I'm not the king. You deserve the death penalty twice. Either A, I'm not the king, you have no right to call me that, and B, if I am the king, why didn't you come earlier?" And he says, "I couldn't, the Biryonim don't let me." And he says, and this is where we left off, and we said he got word that he was appointed king, and then he said, "I'll grant you three wishes." But first he challenges Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he says, "If you have a vessel filled with honey, and there's a dracon, a dragon, a fierce snake wrapped around the vessel, what do you do? You have to break the vessel in order to kill the dragon." Now the question here is, who is the snake threatening? Snakes like honey. And the Talmud says that when snakes eat from honey, so then they give off a venom into that honey. So what are you trying to do? You're trying to protect yourself? Then you could wait till the snake leaves the honey and kill it. You're trying to protect the honey? Then killing the snake and destroying the honey doesn't accomplish anything. So had Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had the insight, at the moment he should have taken Vespasian to task and said, "What do you want to accomplish? What are you saving? The honey? You're not." Because Vespasian's argument was, "I understand the rabbis are on my side." It says in Avos to Rabbi Nasan that Vespasian had spies inside Jerusalem. And when the spies heard that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was arguing, "We have to forfeit, we're not going to win, you're just killing innocent lives." So then they shot an arrow back into the camp. And they said to Vespasian, "You should know Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is your friend. He likes the Roman Empire. He's on your side." So when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai comes out, what he does not know, what we see from the story in Avos Rabbi Nasan, is that Vespasian already knows who he is. He's gotten a report. He knows the inner politics of what's happening inside Jerusalem. And he knows that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has been trying to convince the people to give over Jerusalem into the Roman hands. But he's challenging Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He puts him on the spot. And he says, he gives him an allegory. He says, "What am I supposed to do? You're arguing, you're telling me it's not your fault." Vespasian knows it's not his fault. "You're telling me there are the Biryonim who run the show. So the Biryonim are the snake. And you're a pitcher filled with honey. You're great, I know that. What am I supposed to do?" Vespasian is saying, "I have no choice. I have to fight the snake. I fight the snake. I'll destroy the honey as well. I have no choice." Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is silent. Rav Yosef, and others say it was Rabbi Akiva, that when they would repeat over the story, they would say over this, the verse says in Isaiah, that Hashem undoes anyone's plans. Even the sorcerers try to show how they control things, and Hashem shows that they don't. And even wise people will find themselves suddenly at a loss of words when they should have easily had a good answer. And he should have had a good answer, because he should have told him, you get yourself an extra long set of pliers, and you grab the snake by its head and pull him off the pitcher and deal with the snake. Don't destroy the pitcher of honey. But he didn't have that answer for him. And it's so mind-boggling, because if you think about it for a second, the answer is obvious. You gain nothing by killing the snake and the pitcher. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai here, Chazal tell us, Rabbi Feinstein interpreted this Gemara the opposite from the way we read it. We read it as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai walked out and said, I should have answered him better. And yeah, the Talmud saying he should have answered better. Rabbi Feinstein said that's why the Talmud quoted the verse, to tell us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai could not answer better. That sometimes Hashem makes it that even though a person's very smart, he doesn't get the right answer. He misses it. That's why the Talmud, when you read the Talmud at first glance, it looks like the Talmud is putting down Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Feinstein said, no, the Talmud is telling you he could not have done better. Hashem made it that he lost it. He didn't have the right answer at that time. Yes?
Isn't it possible that the Vespasian was saying that the honey was tainted with the poison? You can't use the honey because the honey is spoiled.
It is possible. It is. That's what the commentaries discuss. Was he also alluding to that? Yeah. Was he trying to say, I can't? Yes. That is discussed.
That's not a bad answer. I mean, you don't have an answer. You're saying the honey's...
The problem is he didn't say that. He said he's wrapped around. And had he meant that, he should have said those words. He should have said, if a snake drank from honey, what are you going to do now?
I don't know how snakes drink.
You have a good point. Yeah, that's some want to say that's why that was alluded, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was factoring. That perhaps that's what Vespasian is trying to get at. That I Vespasian was saying, I don't know who's tainted among you or not. I don't know where the snake put its venom, so I have to kill the dragon. I'm begone with the honey. Some want to say that that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was thinking as he was hearing Vespasian's question. He was wondering if he'd try to answer Vespasian, that Vespasian would say the honey's lost. It's already poisoned once you have a snake there. Some want to say that that's really where he was stumped. Yeah, I think, yeah.
Wouldn't it be expected that Vespasian just wanted to put down the rebellion? Why does he care about the rabbis? Why does he care about saving them? I mean...
So what we see in Josephus, and it makes sense, the Romans were interested in having thriving communities. The Romans were not interested in exiling us and destroying the temple. It was in their interest to have the land of Israel inhabited. They didn't benefit. This wasn't like their ideal situation, to destroy the temple, bring us out there and have this mass slavery of hundreds of thousands. So we built the Colosseum. I think Rabbi Wein said 30 or 40,000 Jewish slaves died building the Roman Colosseum. I don't think, at least that's the impression you get in Josephus, that was not their intention. That's not what they wanted. Their ideal solution was we would be living there paying taxes. We wouldn't rebel, and we would pay taxes. And then they have another force. They have another area that's conquered and developed. They weren't interested in the destruction that came, and... That's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai doesn't say it here, but Novus Rabbi Nosson, it says that he came to the leaders of the Birionim and he said, I have a letter here from Vespasian. The only thing he wants from you is to show him an arrow. In ancient times, today we wave a flag. In ancient times, when you pointed an arrow to yourself, you were saying, I give up, or a bow to yourself. That's why some want to say that's the idea of the keshet, the rainbow in heaven, is Hashem showing us peace. That in ancient times, when you turned it to face yourself, when you turned the bow to yourself, you were saying, I'm not shooting it at you. So the keshet is Hashem pointing the bow towards himself. That's one interpretation of why the rainbow is a sign of peace. But yes, Mr. Karasik.
Might be a bit off topic, but what's your response to an argument some Haredi make that this story is proof that you shouldn't resist foreign pressure and technology?
We said, I alluded to it when I mentioned it. last class, I alluded to it. I said that the major differences are, the first major difference is that here you have the greatest leader of the Jewish people who says that's what's right.
Meaning, they'd argue their leader for the greatest leader.
I don't think Rav Eliashiv, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Chacham Ovadia, I don't think if you went to the people who everyone goes by their halachic rulings, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Rav Henkin, Rav Vosner, I'm saying take in the Haredi world, the top halachic authorities, none of them say what you're saying.
The last you mentioned is next. So why do you say it's supported the Oslo Accords?
Wait, what was your question?
No, not all the people on the left that you, not all the names you listed oppose giving up land.
You talked to me about giving up land or giving up the state?
Part of the state.
That's a different question. Okay, I thought you were talking about giving up the state. If you're talking about giving up land, it's a good question. That deserves a separate class. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different question. No, that deserves a separate discussion. Okay, coming back to here. So, we move on with the story. He gets the messenger from Rome, tells him he's been appointed as emperor, and we know from Josephus that it is at this time that Josephus is already in captivity, because Josephus was taken into Roman captivity also just before Vespasian gets word that he's going to be emperor. Josephus does not use the Torah acumen of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to declare that Vespasian is going to be emperor. He uses his knowledge of politics and he gambles. And he also told Vespasian he would be appointed emperor. And when his word came true, so he also attained great heights. So Vespasian tells him, I'm going to have to leave and send someone else. He doesn't tell him it's going to be his son, Titus. Which I don't know if it's ever spelled out in the Talmud that it was his son. In Josephus it says it was his son. He says, ask me what you'd like. And he tells him, give me Yavne and her sages. In Yavne, you had the rabbis, and you had the tradition of the oral law. He said, give me Yavne. That's where the high court is, that's where the rabbis are, that's where the sages are. Let Yavne stay, and her sages. And give me a doctor for Rabbi Tzadok. Remember, we discussed his story. And give me Rabban Gamliel, the dynasty of the leadership. The Romans would specifically target Rabban Gamliel. Now, the genius in this is Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai was appointed leader. We have to appreciate what just happened. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai was not from the family of Hillel HaNasi. He was not from the family of David HaMelech. And he just got in as the leader. He was the prince. He was the Nasi. So what should be Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai's interest? My children will be the Nasiim after me. Give me my life. Let me continue being the leader of the Jewish people. Let my children continue leading. That's not what he asks for. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, in his tremendous piety, says the real leaders of Israel should be the descendants of Rabban Gamliel, the descendants of Hillel, the descendants of David. Give me the continuation of that. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai exemplifies for us what it means to be a pious leader. His sole interest is, how do I build the future of the Jewish people? He's the leader now, and he's not asking for himself. He's asking for the people. Give me Rabban Gamliel ben, the continuation of his family. Yes, Daniel.
Just have a problem, because David HaMelech says, you know, never give up. Hashem, even, you know, Hashem may be shaken in the last moment.
That's the next line in Talmud. Wait, we didn't get there yet.
No, but I have four problems, because he makes this deal that they eventually don't keep. They destroy the temple and they kill everybody that able to give smicha. I mean, where's the good in the deal he made?
Okay. In a minute. We didn't discuss yet if he did good or not. We're just seeing the piety. In a minute, we'll get to that.
He's a good rabbi. I mean, it's also that you go and see, I think you're gonna win like long time, you know, you're doing that.
Okay.
So, even if you are fighting someone or whatever, you don't tell him, you know, I know you're gonna
Let's see. Yes.
Did he word it correctly? Because Yaltan was destroyed a couple of generations afterwards.
That's his argument. Daniel says what he accomplished seems to be short-lived. They all seem to be short-lived accomplishments. Okay, it's good questions. Yeah.
Well, the first thing I missed, a doctor for who?
Rabbi Tzadok. Rabbi Tzadok was the one who fasted for years to prevent the destruction of the temple.
And why did he just ask him to not destroy the temple, not kill everybody?
So that's the next line in Talmud. So, the Talmud then tells us that when Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Akiva would recount this part of the story, they would say the same line we saw earlier. God sometimes makes it that even a great sage loses it. He doesn't say the right thing at the right moment. He should have said, give us another chance. And the Talmud says, what was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai thinking? He thought, if I try for that, I might not accomplish it. And when you read Josephus, you understand better. Because the Jews were very dirty in the way they fought the Romans. At one point they said, we'll make peace with you. And the Romans came in unprepared. And then they attacked. And so the Romans, they never had that. The Romans were always true to their word because it was in their interest. When they made a deal to keep it, because their reputation went far and wide. If they had the reputation that they didn't keep their deal, then the next city they fought with would never give up. If they told the city, we're going to let you live if you forfeit, then they had to keep their word because they had more at stake. Their next battle, they didn't want to lose more soldiers. So the Romans kept their word. The Jews didn't. The Jews said, we're coming to forfeit, we're coming to give up. The Romans came prepared for a forfeit, they were killed. The same thing happened with the destruction of the temple. We discussed this on the 17th of Tammuz with the story of Pompey. You guys remember? That the story of Pompey, when he was invited into the temple and he thought, in 100 years earlier, with the two brothers, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, we learned the story on Shiva Aser B'Tammuz. After the fast, you guys don't remember, the Jews said, we'll let you enter the temple. And when they entered the temple, the Jews who were inside the temple said, no one asked us. They picked up their swords and they attacked and killed a tremendous part of Pompey's army. That was 100 years before the destruction. So Vespasian was certainly very upset. He himself was almost killed that time when they made a peace treaty with the Jews and the Jews turned their backs on it. Now you have to remember, this wasn't the rabbis. This wasn't our way of doing things. This was the Brionim. These were the hooligans who were running it. And these hooligans were doing every dirty trick in the book, including turning on their own word. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is standing facing Vespasian, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knows that Vespasian has a personal interest now. Vespasian has promised he will destroy Jerusalem because he was almost killed. Because in one of the times, as you read in Josephus, in one of the times that the Jews had pulled the dirty trick and gone against their word, so Vespasian himself was almost killed. And he didn't think there was any natural explanation to how he made it out alive. So Vespasian had promised he's going to destroy Jerusalem. And now, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, do I go for the big kill and I might lose everything? Or do I assure myself I get something? And here, the Talmud, it does not seem, is giving us a contra. Meaning the Talmud is not saying Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was right. This was his calculation. The Talmud is saying Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was wrong, but this was his calculation. Meaning the Talmud says, Rabbi Akiva says he made a mistake, but God sometimes makes that wise people just don't get it right. Now this isn't Rabbi Akiva's invention. Moshe Rabbeinu said it in the book of Iyov. In the book of Job, in the book of Iyov, it says that sometimes Hashem makes it, that smart people lose it too. That's what the one opinion in Talmud tractate Baba Basra. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai went for what was certain. And he figured, this is how I will ensure the continuation of the Jewish people, and this is where we'll have to pick up Ezachim Thursday night. Why were these the factors that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai envisioned would save the Jewish people in the long run? and that has to be discussed. I will tell you that even non-observant tour guides in Jerusalem, many, when they give tours, speak about this request of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and why it was the successful, correct choice of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It's not only an observant approach that can give you an understanding. That's where we will pick up Ezrat Hashem.